Please turn again to Genesis chapter 26. For a few moments at the end of our service, I want to draw your attention to the promise of God to Isaac. And this wonderful promise can be found at the beginning of this chapter. Look with me at Genesis 26, verse 2. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land. And I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. And will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider God's word today. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy precious truth. We thank thee for the word of God. And we pray, Lord, as we turn to thy precious word just now, that you would come and speak to all of our hearts. We thank thee for the wonderful promises that are contained in the word of God. And oh God, we pray that you would come, Lord, and speak to us through this word today. How, Lord, we need a word in season. Oh God, we pray that you'll bless your saints. That you'll come, Lord, and encourage us in these days. And help us, Lord, to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Oh God, we're so thankful today that we're found among the redeemed of God, saved by the grace of God, on our way to heaven. We thank thee for thy so great salvation. And yet, Lord, we're so conscious that day by day as we live in this world, how, Lord, we need thee to come and give us help in time of need. Oh God, we thank thee that you've promised to give us help in time of need. You've promised never to leave us nor forsake us. You've promised to give us strength, Lord, as we seek to live for thee. And oh God, we pray that you would come, Lord, therefore, and through thy word strengthen our hearts even this Lord's day. And oh God, we pray for those in our congregation who are still strangers to grace and to God, still in the broad road to hell. We ask thee, Lord, that you would speak to their heart, that they might realize that there's a wonderful promise here for the sinner. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a tremendous promise that is. Oh God, we thank thee and we praise thee, Lord, for the hope that's in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, therefore, to this end, we pray that you'll bless all of our hearts, speak to all of our souls. And Lord, I pray that I might know the help of the Lord as I would preach today. Fill us with your gracious Holy Spirit and help us, Lord, only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Among the Jewish patriarchs in the Old Testament, there are three that stand above all the rest: Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Of these three, I'm sure you're aware that Isaac lived the longest. Jacob died when he was 147 years old. Abraham died when he was 175 years of age. And Isaac died at the age of 180 years. So, among these three patriarchs, Isaac lived the longest. Now, although Isaac lived the longest, less is written about him in the Bible than Abraham and Jacob. Indeed, Genesis 26 is the only chapter in the Word of God that is devoted entirely to Isaac. But what a tremendous chapter it is in the life of Isaac. In this chapter, God gives Isaac a wonderful promise. Indeed, it is a tremendous promise. And today, very simply, at the close of our service, I want to draw your attention to this promise that God gave to Isaac. And I pray that the Lord will bless this word to all of our hearts. Child of God, if there's a day and age when you and I need encouragement, then it is this day and age in which we live. And I pray that this will be a word of encouragement to your heart today. Now, before we consider the promise itself, it is important to consider the circumstances in which the promise was given. God gave this promise to Isaac at a time of great famine in the land. I wonder, did you notice that as we read down the first part of this chapter? Look at verse 1. It says, "And there was a famine in the land." This famine was so great that it caused Isaac to go in a direction which he would not normally have gone. At the end of verse 1 it says, look at it, "And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines." This perhaps was not the wisest decision that Isaac had ever made in his life. And yet, these are the circumstances that we find Isaac in when God spoke to him and gave him this wonderful promise that is recorded at the beginning of this chapter. Child of God, isn't it wonderful that even in days of famine, the Lord has a word in season for His people? Maybe you're here today and you're going through a famine. You're here today perhaps and you're in the valley. Perhaps you're going through a hard time in your Christian life. Well, God has a word for you even in the midst of the valley. Even in the midst of the famine, thank God, the Lord has a word in season for His people. And that's what we see here in this portion of Scripture. Very simply, as we come to look at this promise that the Lord gave to Isaac in the midst of this famine, I pray that the Lord will bless our hearts and encourage our souls. First of all, I want you to notice here, and I want you to take a look at verse 3. I want you to notice that God promised Isaac present help. Present help. Look what it says. "I will be with thee." I want you to underline those words, because those are tremendous words. We read here, "And the Lord appeared unto him and said, I will be with thee." What better way could the Lord assure Isaac of His divine help than to promise Isaac His divine presence? God was going to help Isaac through the famine. He was going to provide for Isaac in the midst of the famine, in the midst of this trial, in the midst of this valley that he was passing through. And although Isaac had acted somewhat foolishly, the Lord was going to deliver him and help him in his time of need. That's what we learn here, child of God. The Lord was going to help Isaac at this time in his life. The Lord was not going to disown his child or forsake his child in the time of need. God promised Isaac His presence. And that meant meeting his every need in the midst of these circumstances that Isaac was in. And you know, of course, when you read on down this portion of Scripture, you find out that God kept His divine word. God presented Himself with Isaac, and God blessed Isaac, and God helped Isaac. Look with me there at verse 12. "And Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envy him. So here we have the Lord keeping his word. Some time, of course, has passed since the Lord first spoke and gave Isaac this wonderful promise at verse 3. Some time has passed. The famine is over. But Isaac is prospering. God's promise has been fulfilled. God has brought Isaac safely through the famine. Oh, child of God, the Lord always keeps his word. The Lord always keeps his word. Sometimes perhaps we doubt the word. Sometimes perhaps unbelief grips our hearts. And we fail to see how the Lord can bring us through certain circumstances. But isn't it wonderful that we can rest completely upon the precious promises of God's truth. And of course, the Lord has promised to provide our need in this 21st century. Because he has promised never to leave us, nor forsake us. God has promised to presence himself with us, whatever our circumstances. You see, God's presence means God's help. God's presence means God's protection. And the Lord has promised, no matter what our circumstances, no matter what our famine, no matter what our valley, that he will always be with us, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. There's a tremendous text of Scripture, and I know that you'll be familiar with it, but it's a text of Scripture that we all need as God's people, I believe, to underline in our Bibles, Isaiah 43 verse 2. Just turn over to it and read these tremendous words that we have here. This is God's promise to his people. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Isn't that a tremendous promise? Maybe there's a child of God here today, and you're passing through hard times, and you don't know how you're going to get through the famine. You don't know how you're going to get through your present circumstances. Well, the Lord knows. He knows all about them. And he has promised, as far as his people are concerned, his redeemed children are concerned, he has promised each and every one of us his presence. And that means his help. That means his provision. That means his protection. Before the Lord Jesus Christ ascended back up into heaven in Matthew chapter 28, he said this to his disciples in verse 20, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." The Lord doesn't promise us a bed of roses to heaven. He doesn't promise that everything will be easy in the Christian life. Oh no, there will be the hard times. There will be the difficult periods. There will be a time of sickness. There will be the time of dearth. There will be the time of famine. But what he does promise is this, that no matter what our circumstances may be, that he will be with us. And my child of God, that is something that's tremendous and something that's wonderful. That you and I have the presence of the Lord with us day by day in our Christian lives. But I want you to notice something else here. Turn back again to Genesis chapter 26. Not only did the Lord promise Isaac present help in the midst of this famine and in the midst of these circumstances that he found himself in, but secondly, God promised Isaac future blessing. I'm sure you noticed that. Look with me at verses 3 and 4 again. "Unto thy seed," this is the Lord speaking to Isaac, "I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. and will give unto thy seed all these countries. Not only was God going to preserve Isaac in the midst of this trial in Genesis 26, but the Lord promised Isaac that his offspring would have a future in the land as well. Indeed, for generations to come, Isaac's posterity would be blessed. His children would be multiplied and become as the stars in heaven in number. What a tremendous promise we have here. Millions have been the descendants of Isaac. Millions. And by the time Isaac's descendants left Egypt in Exodus chapter 12, and I know that you'll be familiar with Exodus chapter 12, but before Isaac's descendants left Egypt in Exodus chapter 12, there was over 1 million of them. At least 1 million of them. You know, child of God, our future is secure. Our future is secure. Not only in this world, but in the world which is to come. The Church of Christ is secure. Now, I know that we're living in hard times. We certainly can't say we're living in days of revival, that's for sure. We're living in difficult times for the Church of Jesus Christ. There doesn't seem to be very much happening. But having said that, the Lord is still blessing. Souls are still being saved. But there's one thing for sure, that the Church of Christ is secure. The Lord Jesus Christ said himself, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And Jesus said on another occasion, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall stand forever." And the Lord Jesus said on another occasion, "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of mine hand." Listen to again what the Savior said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Shall never die. Thank God the Lord is building his church, and he will bring that church safely home to heaven. I'm going home to glory soon to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. God's word declares that the saints of God have an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. This is the promise of God to his people. God's promise is future blessing. Therefore, let us rejoice even in times of trial and trouble. Even in times when things are hard and things are difficult. Keep your hand in Genesis chapter 26 and turn over to the New Testament just for a moment to 1 Peter chapter 1. And in this portion of Scripture, we can see the great promise of God to his people as far as the future is concerned. You know, sometimes we look into the future and we think to ourselves, how are we going to get through? Perhaps because of our circumstances. And certainly in this climate, economic climate in which we're living, many are getting it hard and many are getting it difficult. But isn't it wonderful to know that as far as the saints of God are concerned, our future is secure in Christ. Our blessings are secure in Christ. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. You're in heaviness through manifold temptations or manifold trials. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire," and our faith will be tried, and our faith will be tested. Of that there is no doubt. Was Isaac's faith not being tested in Genesis chapter 26? Of course it was. God permitted the famine to come God, I believe, permitted the famine to come in order to test Isaac's faith. And there are times when famine will come into our lives. When we'll be in the valley. When we'll pass through the trial. God will test our faith. But look what it says here. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Listen to this, verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Oh, thank God. Our souls are saved, not only for time, but for all of God's eternity. Child of God, even when we come to die, we have the promise of God's presence and the promise of future blessing. I'm always greatly blessed when I read Psalm 23. And of course, Psalm 23 was written by David, penned by David. Of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But as David thought of his future, not only upon this earth, and of course in the psalm, David speaks about future blessing upon this earth. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But not only does David think of future blessing upon earth, he thinks also of future blessing in eternity. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And here's the future blessing that David spoke of. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, child of God, someday we're going to go home to see the King in all His glory. Isn't it wonderful to be saved? Isn't it wonderful to know the Lord? Isn't it wonderful to be able to look into the future and to be able to have this assurance that someday you're going to be with Christ, which is far, far better? Why should we fear? Why should we be apprehensive about the future? Why should we worry about the future? There are many of God's people, and they spend their days, they spend their weeks worrying about tomorrow, and worrying about next year, and worrying about the days to come. I tell you, when you turn to the Word of God, and when you read the promises that are contained in this book for the child of God, those promises ought to take our worries away. That's why it's so important day by day in our Christian lives to look unto Jesus. For He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And thank God He has promised to give us strength in our time of need. You see, the Lord knows all about us. And He knows all about our circumstances. And whatever our circumstances are today, in His providence, He has brought us there. He has brought us there to strengthen our faith. He has brought us there to test our faith. But He has brought us there in order to bring us through. And child of God, never you believe anything else. I tell you, the Lord will keep His hand upon His people. And the Lord will bless not only the present. He will not only give help in the present, but He will give blessing in the future, because that's what His Word declares. And I believe His Word. Did He not keep His Word to Isaac? Of course, we have already noticed that He kept His Word to Isaac. He brought Isaac through this famine, and He blessed him. And when the famine was over, God blessed him in such a way that he became greater than he was ever before. And whatever trial you're going through, child of God, at the moment, the Lord will bring you through it. And at the end of life's journey, well, He'll bring you home to heaven. And what a day that will be when we go home to heaven. Are you going to heaven? If you were to die right now, would you be in heaven? Oh, I pray that you're saved and born again of the Spirit of God. But I want you to notice something else about this promise. I want you to notice, turn back again to Genesis chapter 26. And this is very important. And certainly this blessed my heart when I read it and when I studied it. Thirdly, in this promise in Genesis 26, God ratified to Isaac the coming of the Messiah. Did you see that in the promise? Take a look at the end of verse 4 and underline these words. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. This promise was first given to Abraham. Just turn back a few pages to Genesis chapter 22 and look with me at verse 18. Here's the Lord speaking to Abraham. And the Lord gives this very same promise to Abraham that he gave to Isaac. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now, what does that mean? Well, this promise, this part of the promise here is speaking about a person. I want you to understand that. And the person is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessing of the gospel which Christ brings to all nations and would bring to all nations. This is the promise of the coming of Christ through the line of Abraham and Isaac. You said to me, well, how do you know that? Well, this interpretation of this part of the promise was the interpretation that the Apostle Paul gave in the New Testament. Now, keep your hand in Genesis 26 there and turn over in your Bibles just for a moment to Galatians chapter 3. And in Galatians chapter 3, Paul here is speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he comes to speak about this part of the promise that God gave to Abraham and Isaac. And this is how Paul interpreted that part of the promise. Look at verse 8 of Galatians chapter 3. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So there's the part of the promise. Paul's quoting it there. In thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now take a look with me there at verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. That's to Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob. To Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, unto thy seed, which is Christ. Which is Christ. So that part of the promise is speaking about Christ. It's speaking about the Messiah. It's speaking about the Savior coming into the world. Oh, men and women, what a wonderful Bible we have. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is not only to be found in the New Testament. That's why you should read the Old Testament. The Old Testament is so important. It's God's Word. But many of God's people today don't take the time to read the Old Testament. Christ is to be found in the Old Testament. The prophecies concerning the coming Messiah are found in the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, God declared through the prophets that His Son would come, be the Messiah, be the Savior of the world. And it's so important that you understand the meaning of that part of the promise that God gave to Abraham and Isaac. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And has God not answered that part of the promise? He has. Hasn't all the nations of this world been blessed in Christ? Hasn't all the nations of the earth, of this world, haven't they been blessed through the gospel of the Savior? What do we learn here? Well, we learn a number of things. First of all, we learn that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. There's no other Messiah. We're not looking for the Messiah still to come. Sadly, today in Israel, they're still waiting for the Messiah to come. They don't recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Messiah. But of course, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And of course, when the Savior walked upon this earth, He said that He was the Messiah. When He spoke to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Let me just read you the verses. Verses 25 and 26. The woman saith unto Him, that's unto Jesus, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. There's the testimony of the Lord Jesus Himself. And the Lord Jesus, as He spoke to the woman at the well, He said, I am the Messiah. I that speak unto thee am He. Oh, the Lord Jesus is the seed of the woman that bruised the head of the serpent. We learn something else here. Jesus Christ is the only Messiah. He's the only Savior, because Peter said in Acts 4 verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one promised Messiah. We learn something else. Jesus Christ was Isaac's Messiah, Isaac's Savior. Isaac was saved by grace through faith in Christ, the Messiah. We made that point last week. Just like Abraham, his father before him, Isaac had trusted the Messiah. We read about Abraham, these wonderful words in John chapter 8. Again, they're words that you need to underline in your Bible. Verse 56 of John chapter 8, it says this, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking about Abraham. And he saw it and was glad. How did Abraham see Christ's day? Sure, Abraham was dead hundreds, thousands of years even before the Lord Jesus was born. How did he see it? He saw it by faith. He saw it through the promise. That's how he saw it. And I'll tell you this, when God promised Abraham and Isaac, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, Abraham and Isaac recognized that the God of heaven was speaking about the Messiah. My friend, do you know the Messiah today? Is He your Savior? He was Isaac's Savior. He was Abraham's Savior. Is He your Savior? If you're ever going to get into heaven, if you're ever going to escape hell, if you're ever going to know the blessing of God in your life, then you must come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Redeemer. Sinner, you, if you want God's promise to be your promise, then you must obey the instructions of God. Did you notice? Did you notice what it said there? What God said to Isaac. Look at verse 2. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land. Oh, God instructed Isaac. And Isaac, of course, obeyed. Isaac obeyed. And of course, Abraham was an obedient servant. Look what it says in verse 5. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments and my statutes and my laws, they were obedient to the instructions of God. What is God's instructions to sinners today? Well, they're simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, I believe that sinners are saved by grace. And I believe that sinners are saved by grace alone. For by grace are ye saved. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation from start to finish is the gift of God. But my friend, if you're ever going to be saved,
You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to exercise faith in Him. Now you don't have to work for it, because the work is done. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He died upon the cross, He cried, "It is finished." Man's redemption is completed, and completed once and for all. But you've got to believe. You've got to trust this word. You've got to trust this promise. The hymn writer penned it well when he said those words, when he penned those words, "Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now." I remember speaking to a man on one occasion about his soul. And I said to him, "Have you got saved yet? Are you trusting in the Lord? Have you repented of your sin?" You know what he said to me? He says, "How do you know I'm one of the elect?" And I says, "Well, I'll tell you how I know you're not one of the elect. If you refuse to come to Christ in repentance and faith." And that man's still not saved. My friend, you leave the electing to God. That's His business. Your business is to repent and believe the gospel. And that's why it is imperative that you come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ today as your own and personal Savior. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Child of God, the promise that God gave to Isaac. Present help, I will be with thee. Future blessing. And the promise of a coming Savior, a coming Messiah. Has God not kept His word to Isaac? He has. In every part of the promise, God kept His word. And God will keep His word to us. There's a heaven. And we're going to see it. Because that's the promise of God to His saints. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee, Lord, for the scriptures of truth. Oh God, we pray that You'll bless Your word. Encourage Your saints today, Lord. Help us to feast and feed upon Thy word day by day. Oh God, if there's a day and age when we need to be in the book, studying the book and reading the Bible and believing it, then it's this day in which we live. Lord, whether we're living in days of plenty or days of famine, whether we're living on the mountain top or in the valley, the word of God never changes. The promises of God are still the same. Hallelujah! And oh God, we pray that these wonderful promises will be more precious to us the nearer we get to heaven. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.